It's me, Mark Lloyd.
The Mark Lloyd is actually talking to The Rock.
Mark Lloyd.
Has his man wide open. Oh, that's yeah. Bailey at the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Mario Bailey.
Mark Lloyd.
What do we want as a sports fan? Huh? What do we want?
Mark Lloyd.
Have you had any water today?
There's water in my lemonade.
There you go. So I'm not a huge fan of vegetables. Okay, so how can I eat some? This, you know, just blend them up.
Sit back, relax, and let this guy do all the thinking for you. Mark Lloyd.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Mark Lloyd Show right here on Freedom 93. And as always, we do like to come out of the right from the beginning and thank everybody for tuning in each and every week as we talk some sports with you. And what a week it has been, what a week it's going to be, with the pigskin flying all over the place, controversies in college and the NFL, so a lot of good fodder to talk about. But before I go any further, let's bring in the rest of the crew, Seminole Bill and Terminus Eric. Guys, how are you?
Doing great. Ready to roll, brother. How you doing?
Good. I'm doing wonderful. Terminus, how are you?
I'm doing good. Good morning, sir.
Yes, and good morning. And Bill, you know what, I just mentioned controversy. Now, there's no controversy on our show because coming up in a little bit, we're going to talk some Florida State football. Then we have Mark Lloyd's locker room report for the Buccaneers. And then we'll talk some more NFL later on. But there's controversy, at least with me. And get up on our soapbox because you're standing right next to me when it comes to the polls. Now, anymore with the playoff system that we have in place, it's like the polls are meaningless right now. They really are. They're meaningless other than showing who the coaches and the AP writers respect and who they don't respect. For some for good reasons and some just no reasons at all, just to spite the team. And so should the polls come out later on in about a month when we get a gauge on who everybody is? Yes, they really should. The polls strictly come out now for financial reasons. There's no doubt about it. The build hype, the build controversy. And it does its job. Because I'm not happy at all. And Bill, I want to throw some stuff at you. And I'm dying to hear your thoughts on this. First of all, let's talk about the number one team in the nation, the Ohio State Buckeyes, who start off the season, they beat Virginia Tech. Okay, by four to none. Remember, the narrative is Ohio State and then everybody else. Like, they're that good. Just the way, same exact thing we heard last year. There's Florida State and there's everybody else. Okay, so you have Ohio State. Just like Florida State, they come out. Yeah, they beat Virginia Tech. Florida State beat Oklahoma State last year. Not as impressive as maybe you thought. Hey, maybe, you know, there's some things that the team isn't as good as we thought right away. The next week, Ohio State played Hawaii. Didn't really look well. Last week, a disaster in their football game. Almost losing to, Northern Illinois at home. In Buckeye Stadium, they looked awful. Yet, they don't get dinged at all, Seminole Bill. How is that possible? How do they drop Florida State every single poll, it seemed, last year? Every week, Florida State dropped a little bit more, playing the exact same way as Ohio State. Yet Ohio State, practically in one poll, holds on to all of their first-place votes. Forget dropping in a poll. They have all their first-place votes. In another poll, they lost about 15 or 16. How is that possible? Is that just strictly because of Urban Meyer?
Well, yeah, the urban legend is alive and well up in Ohio. And it is odd to me that you would see, well, I thought what would happen because of the way Ohio State played is either, of course, Michigan State might slide up,
yeah,
which they did. You know, they're right there behind them. But would it have shocked you? Here's the bigger shock. We talk about the SEC marketing machine so much. I thought Ole Miss was destined to jump into that slot. You know, they're, you know, right after they beat Alabama, there's no talking points. Alabama, of course, had they been number two, would have jumped Ohio State,
yeah,
in my opinion. But since that couldn't happen, they bump up Michigan State, set up the matchup for down the road if nothing happens. And right now we're looking at Ole Miss that went all the way from wherever they were right up to third, which is similar to last year, isn't it?
Yeah, you're very eerily similar to last year, Seminole Bill. Okay, so now let's jump. Okay, so there's my Ohio State problem. And the polls are really screwy, too, because they are really different, the coaches and the AP. I mean, there's some drastic differences. It's the coaches' poll, it gets it right in some areas and and they're awful in other areas. The AP gets it right in some areas, and they're awful in other areas. So they can't. They're not on the same page, that's for sure, and I get it. There's the writers, and that's the coaches. Ole Miss, they beat Alabama. It's a fantastic victory. There's no doubt about that. But come on, guys. Has anybody looked at Alabama's record recently against top five or ranked opponents that were really high? It's awful. Awful since last year. Or 2 years ago. Enough with that. I mean, Florida State would have been buried out of the top 20. No way would they garner that respect. Alabama somehow still gets it. And they drop 10 slots, the 12th in, 12th in both polls. So they go 2 to 10. Ole Miss really did put a shellacking on them to a point. Alabama did make a comeback, but once again, I don't think the game was as close as it was. And so you have the SEC marketing machine bolstering Ole Miss all the way to the top. And yes, their offenses look good. But if you watch the game closely sometimes, boy, that was a lucky bounce that turned that really, if it would have went Alabama's way, it would have been maybe a possibly a big difference. Now, I know it's easy to say. I'm talking about the helmet ball.
Shades of Auburn, you know, did that two weeks in a row. And how odd. Alabama has really been misfortunate the last few years with quirky things happening to them where it used to kind of roll their way, no pun intended, Tide. It was always Roll Tide, but now Auburn, you know, was the beneficiary last year, and it seems like maybe Ole Miss is going to have that magic this year because, you know, looking back last year, you recall when they were playing Auburn and, Mississippi completes that ball, Treadwell's going right down the field about the score right there at the goal line, breaks his leg, and how heartbreaking for him. He came back strong. He looked great, looked in, tip-top shape. I'm happy for him. You hate to see an injury to a ball player like that. He had a great game. But, boy, does Alabama have some voodoo or something going on where they just – if something weird's going to happen in the game, it happens to them right now. And maybe it's that, football karma putting the world back in balance after a few years.
Well, when do you start talking about Alabama's a couple problems that never go away? Their secondary, no matter who they recruit right now, is awful.
Yeah.
It's just awful.
Yeah.
I mean, they got five-star kids back there galore, and people just throw all over them. Their offensive line was terrible. I know Robert Condici is really, really good. There's no doubt about it, but it was like a jailbreak on every snap. And then their quarterback situation is just terrible. It's not very good.
Well,
let's move on to
quickie, real ahead. Quick, Mark. Would you have started Coker?
Would I have? Yeah, I would have started Coker. Yeah, absolutely. I would have pulled him already.
I didn't understand the decision because he hadn't lost. And obviously, he proved himself out there. He threw a couple bad balls. But other than that, I mean, he pretty much engineered their big scoring drive. So, I mean, you started off kind of weird with controversy. Saban, overthinking some things. And now he's back having to think of the grand scheme. And can Alabama climb back in?
Yes, no, you're absolutely right. That's immediately their talk. Oh, well, if they do this, and I'm like, unbelievable. Yes. They could do no wrong. Okay. Notre Dame here's the problem going against Notre Dame, which I would have thought they would have got more of a bump. They should have been bumped up higher. I'll tell you what, for the injuries that they've sustained and to pull off the victories that they have and to shut down a Georgia Tech team that everybody was high on, 80% of the public was betting on Georgia Tech come game time. Nobody thought Notre Dame was going to win the game, yet alone really shut down Georgia Tech, and they did. Georgia Tech, the late comeback, just the way Alabama did, but the game was never that close. Notre Dame is proving that they're a good football team right now, and they should be up higher. And now let's get back to the SEC. What's your thoughts on were you shocked by that Notre Dame defense, how they shut down that Georgia Tech offense?
Yeah, they proved me wrong because I certainly thought Georgia Tech was going to be able to go up there and beat them. You know, just with all the stuff going on. But sometimes, and again, we talked about the luck of the Irish the week before and, having that wonderful how do you not cover the guy on the last play of the game, basically. They came out and showed real determined effort. I'll give Kelly, his praise this time. He had a good scheme for Georgia Tech, and it's hard to scheme Georgia Tech.
Yes, it is.
It really is. They
must have
been. They had to have been maybe defensively working on that plan in the off season because they knew they saw that. That was the one that probably jumped out at them right off the bat. Was wow, that team's a totally different look than we normally get, except for maybe Navy. You know, but Georgia Tech runs that offense like nobody's business. And for Notre Dame to shut that offense down, that's a statement game for them just right off the bat.
Now let's jump back to the SEC, and this is what I get a kick of as teams moving up. In the coaches' poll, Georgia moves up two slots for beating who? South Carolina. South Carolina sucks. I mean, they're bad. They're just not a good football team. Everybody knows that. Yet they jumped up two spots and jumped over Florida State. And they're ahead of Notre Dame. LSU, similar to Bill, he's coming on both these SEC teams. LSU beats a Auburn team that coming into the game was not very good after their Jacksonville State debacle. So we all knew that. It's not like Auburn was clicking on all cylinders and this team's like, whoa, what a matchup this is going to be. Auburn was awful coming into LSU. LSU spanks them like they should have, yet they get credit like they beat the fifth-ranked team in the country or something like that. And they jump up five spots in the coaches' poll, and they jump up five spots in the AP poll. They jump ahead of Florida State in one poll and one slot behind Notre Dame, and they jump over Clemson, who hasn't lost either. Remember, Clemson beat the Louisville team that Auburn got all the credit in the world for beating.
Right.
Clemson beats them, and it's no big deal. It's like, oh, well, yeah, let's drop them.
We do not have the marketing machine the SEC does, and this is all goes back to your talking points, you know, over the years and last year for us with regards to how good a job the SEC does. So if something happens, they have a fallback plan. And the fallback plan right now is Mississippi, Ole Miss, I'm sorry, LSU, and then maybe Bama, you know, gets back in there, but Georgia as well. They're pushing their top end real heavy. And we, of course, in the ACC don't get that benefit because all we push is basketball.
That's right. All right, two more things, Seminole Bill, that I want you to comment on. First of all, I get a kick that Alabama's ahead of Oregon. Now, Oregon, when they were playing Michigan State, I think they were what, fourth or fifth in the nation?
Right.
Okay. They lose on the road in a close game to Michigan State, the second-ranked team. They drop to 13th. Alabama loses at home at the time to the 12th-ranked team, and they're still ahead of Oregon, which I think is silly. They're both 2-1. Now, one other thing. So remember that. Also, how on earth is Missouri, who wins each week over an FCS team, they won 9-6 over an FCS team. The week before, they barely won also, I think it was Arkansas State. I mean, they're playing terrible football against FCS opponents, not Power 5. And then, here's the biggest joke in the world, and the coaches' poll should be ashamed. They have Auburn ranked 25th.
Yeah, that's that old reason why you need to lean on the other poll for some semblance of order, even though it's not always correct. The writers, you know, you take your bias with you, but this is just coaches voting for their own league to keep them elevated and to keep them relevant for possible contention in the playoffs. They you have to have the higher, you know, the higher end strength of schedule. All that stuff is where all these problems with the system that still, you know, exist, even though we've got a better one than we had last year, you still have the same drive behind why you vote a team like Auburn into the top 25 when they have no business being in the top 50 right now. They're just that bad.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And one last thing, and then we got to go to break, and we're going to talk some Florida State football. Eighth-ranked LSU in the Writers poll. Somebody's voting them number one. They're getting a first-place vote, Seminole Bill.
The Times picking you. Probably the Times picking you right there in New Orleans.
Yeah. I mean, they're eighth in the country, and they're getting a first-place vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Fournette effect, you know, just they'll have something new. It's the guy that's going to win the Heisman, you know?
Oh, Lord. Oh, and by the way, when they were doing the Heisman thing, Ezekiel Elliott is still on the Heisman watch list of the top four. The guys have done one thing the whole year. Yet Dalvin Cook was on it the week before. He's gone.
Of course.
Unbelievable. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk some Florida State football. They have a bye week this upcoming week, but lots to talk about when it comes to the NOLA. Stay with us here on the Mark Lloyd Show on Freedom 93.
You
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
And now, a man that knows everything, Mark Lloyd.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show here on Freedom 93. You hear the music. You hear the chant. That means we're going to talk some Florida State football right now. Florida State moved to 3-0 on the season, which is always a good thing. They defeated Boston College last week, as we all know, 14-0. Started off the game looking really strong. Drove right down the field. And then after that, on one side of the ball, it was very frustrating watching Florida State play. And on the defensive side of the ball, it was very rewarding watching Florida State play. But the most important thing is that they came out with a victory, similar to Bill. They are 3-0. And let's break this game up for a minute. Not go into the nitty-gritty details, but let's talk about Florida State's offense right now. They went up against a Boston College team that had a good defense. So that's, I'm not going to say they have a great defense or anything like that. It's Boston College, okay? They're an opponent that a lot of people did pick Florida State to lose, and we'll get to them getting knocked in the polls and dropping in the polls, which I always find funny. How do you pick them to lose the game? So you're expecting them to lose. They win the game, and then you fault them for winning the game by not enough, even though you picked them to lose. Makes no sense at all. But offensive-wise, the first thing is the offensive line. It just doesn't look very good. They didn't have a good game. Let's put it that way. That's being kind, Seminole Bill.
Yeah, I mean, new bunch of guys, still got some youth. It's unfortunate. It's a whip. It's a work in progress, brother. You know, and we saw this happen last year. It took us forever to get the right combination, even with more of a veteran line. Then we got going this year. Plus, you got a new signal caller, and you know all kind of youth on that offense. So, but it starts up front. It has to, and those guys have got to get their A game going. Boston College has a good defense. I don't know that it will be the best one we face this year, but they always come up with something for us. They're coached well. Adazio does a good job getting his team ready to play, and they were ready for us. And boy, I tell you. There was no, even though we didn't let, defensively, we played very well, didn't let them get across the field. One little magical pass, you know, away most of the game from being tied, you know, and that was a little bit, I don't know if you're sitting there watching like I was. I didn't feel like we were going to lose that ball game, but I just kept thinking, come on, guys, you moved that ball right down the field the first drive. It looked like going, you know, a knife through bread. It was easy. And what happened? I mean, they really made some good adjustments on the other side of the ball, or we just kind of fell apart on our end. I think it's a little, maybe a combination of both. But we didn't rise to the level that we needed to put the ball in the end zone more. And you can't, you know, you have opportunities. You can't leave points on the field.
Okay, similar Bill. So I'm gonna ask you this question, and here's what I want to know. Obviously, Florida State staying off the side of the ball. There's tons of talent there. You're right. Okay, the offensive line is new, young, et cetera. Let's focus on the quarterback in Everett Golson right now. He was 15 out of 24, 119 yards, one touchdown. What's really important, as we're being negative on the offense, is that they have not turned the ball over yet, and that's a big deal. That's a huge deal. They have not turned the ball over this year, neither has Everett Golson. However, Golson, what I don't understand is why he's learning, or while they're trying to open up the playbook a little bit more, and yes, there's young wide receivers, I get that too, but you have a great running back. I was under the presumption that Everett Golson could run the read option. I think I've been misled. Now, it's probably my own fault, but for some reason, I thought he was really light-footed and that this dude is going to be able to run the read option. And we talked about this, the read option with Dalvin Cook, but the plays, a few plays that they tried, he was clueless. And he still handed the ball off, and Cook, you know, whoever pinned her, they got crushed on the play when he should have kept it. Why is Everett Golson not running the ball more? Since right now we're struggling with the passing game, how come that's not happening, Somerville?
That's a valid question. Be honest with you, I wish I had the answer. I think it may be a combination of just.
But what are you seeing? What are you seeing? I know you don't have the answer because you know you don't have Fisher on speed dial. But what are you seeing through your offensive coordinator eyes on why we're not running just running Golson more? Period.
I think your QB. Maybe is following a directive that, you know, get the ball in the hands of the guys and let them go. Because Fisher, you know, let's just be honest. I mean, you see the control, you see the vice grip on the offense in certain points of the game where there's, hey, we're just going to put it in a box and just say, do this right now, give it to him. There, I don't think there's a lot of leeway right now for Everett to make too many decisions. And he may be overthinking it, but he's got to learn, and he knows this. He came out of this type of offense. He can make that decision to pull and run the ball. And when he does, you know, we've seen him a couple of times do pretty well. Just why it's happening, I don't know. It's the same reason why flip it to the another part of the game, why Kason Beatty goes out there and punts his lights out this last week and hadn't done it, you know, forever. We talked about that. But it's just decision making on the field. You as a quarterback, when you're taught to read the crash, if someone crashes down on your guy, pull the ball, get it outside. But we aren't running, you know, what some people would call a traditional option right now. We're not diving down with the guy every play.
Yeah.
We're just giving the ball off. You know, it's a single read. There's no look. Usually an option play, you got a fullback or another guy back there where he's going to hit up in there, you know, on the zero or the one or the two gap. He's coming down right there off the guard's butt, you know, one side or the other of the tackle. And you're reading your end, you know, and you're reading the first read. The guy hits your fullback, you pull the ball, you go on down, and you got a guy to pitch to. We don't have a guy to pitch to. So it's really not a option per se. It's just if our guy gets hit, I can take the ball and run. That's really not the best situation for a running quarterback because if there's no other option to pitch, then basically your end and the linebackers are collapsing on you. And so there's not a one-on-one option there where he can dodge one guy and get up the field. That's why if you're going to run the option, you got to run an option when you read at the front. You're giving the ball to one guy. It's not there. You got somebody else trailing. So at least you have the option or make one of the other guys, the defenders coming up, have to make a choice between hitting the quarterback or going after the pitch guy. And that's not there right now. At least I haven't seen it.
No, you're absolutely right. I always just think of more Oregon, the way Oregon
different,
was doing.
Different they're situation.
Not, different
situation. And different skill set for the quarterback a little bit, to be honest with you. I don't know that Everett's at the level of a Marcus Mariota in terms of running. You know, he can make do. He's probably quicker than Jameis, but even Jameis sometimes can elude people. Heck, even the kid for Alabama Jake looked pretty doggone good. You know, he was surprised.
Yeah, he did.
But you know what? They forget that Jake Coker came out of a option high school. They forgot about that. The guys at ESPN, I'm surprised they forgot about that. It wasn't surprising me that he could run because he did it all his senior year in high school in Alabama. So same thing here. There's some things that aren't there maybe for him, and maybe he doesn't feel comfortable making that decision yet, or you know, deciding I'm going to go out there and it's going to be me against two guys. You know,
Seminole Bill, are you shocked that the defense is playing as well as they are? Because I am, but I really think that is it. Just shows. Right now, there seems to be a little bit of a different mentality on the defensive side of the ball. And I think, I was talking with somebody the other day about this, every week that goes by, every game that goes by that they put up another good performance, it's just building more and more confidence. And the pass rush is playing well, and I think there's some outstanding players that you know, I don't know if they're seeing dollar figures possibly, and that this is my last shot, or they're just buying into the system, but there's no doubt that Derek Nandi is a star, okay?
Yeah.
He's a future first-round draft pick, possibly, as a defensive tackle. Roderick Hoskins as a linebacker is playing lights out. He is playing really, really well.
Boy, we need it.
You're absolutely right. And in the secondary, Jalen Ramsey, just Jalen Ramsey. I mean, the guy makes the big play. That's why he'll be a top five pick in the NFL draft, because he's a superstar. What the good news is for Florida State and the defense is that the stats and how they're shutting down, and they're the number one defense in the country right now against teams that have played FBS opponents or something like that. I saw the stats. But what is really cool, Seminole Bill, is that the defensive line is only going to get better because more and more players are coming back. So now Cash will be back, and also Featherston will be back. So two more defensive ends into the mix. So that rotation, when that offense is getting tired, they're just going to keep on bringing in those guys, now these four and five-star guys, to wear down the other side of the ball. And it's paying dividends right now, and it's just going to get better and better, I think, is what I'm thinking, and obviously it's what Florida State fans are hoping for.
Yeah, you know, you hit on a good point. We're getting guys back, finally. But really, the most impressive thing to me, and yes, I am impressed by the defense, because I did not expect us to be able to at least early on materialize like they have. I thought there'd be some holes. We talked about the weaknesses of our depth at certain spots, especially at linebacker. I mean, we're just thin, you know, at linebacker. But somehow the coaching staff on that side of the ball, and give them credit, you know, we got into them a little bit last year, but give them credit. They're normalizing things. They're giving these young guys and the returning guys an opportunity to gel, which is what we need to see on the other side of the ball. This gelling factor is really going to be important for us, because if they can keep us close, we have a chance to win pretty much every ball game we're going to be playing this year. It's going to start with the defense being able to hold other teams down, because we're not going to be the high flying circus we used to be right now. But as you know, the offense comes together, if the defense can keep us in ball games, and we don't have any fluke missed field goals like last week from Mr. Automatic. And if, boy, good grief, if Mr. Beatty can punt like that, whew.
Well, let's talk special teams really quick, Seminole Bill. First of all, that field goal, I'm surprised that has not come up in a topic, because it looked good to me. And that's when somebody said, that's why you need lasers. Because it was kicked up so high. I'm not kidding you. Back and look at it, it looked like it was good.
It's bizarre. That is a tough call. I don't know how they do it, really. I was a punter, quarterback, kicker, all that kind of stuff. And I always, you know, you look at the ref standing on the other side of the bar looking at the ball. I don't know how they do it. I mean, sometimes that close. We've had that situation before.
I would have reviewed it. Yeah. I would have. I don't know if that's possible.
I don't know that it is.
I would have reviewed it and said, whoa.
That's a big play right there.
Huge play. Are you kidding me? Well, you don't know what that leads to. It gives you a little breathing room, but lets you open up things a little bit more, because you know you have a two score lead.
Right.
So it does all kinds of things. And then on top of that, clearly, the MVP of the game was Cason Beatty. I don't even understand what's going on.
And we talked about that.
As happy as you are for him, And then at the same time, it just frustrates you, because why do you suck? And literally, how can you suck and be awesome almost on a week-to-week basis? I mean, terrible. And then, oh, my God, you look like a great guy.
Yeah.
What's going on?
You know what? It is exactly what Coach Fisher said. He, for whatever reason, he punts great in practice, but it never transfers to the field, and it's frustrating for both of them, and it's a pressure thing. You know, if you tighten up as a punter or a kicker, it's just like, you know, what you tell hitters, don't be rigid, be loose when you hit the ball. You know, you got that natural recoil.
Yeah.
Same thing for kickers and punters and pitchers using that leg swing, man. If you tighten up, you got nothing. You got to be loose, and it's got to be like just a reflex. So Cason, man, bring it on. We need you, brother.
Yeah, that is for sure. That's how you keep on winning. You're absolutely right. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back on the Mark Lloyd Show, we're going to we have Buck's Locker Report. All that coming up next, right here on Freedom 93 FM. Stay with us.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7EVENT1, 877-7EVENT1, online at BassettEvents.com.
This is Bill Bassett and Eric Sweeney with Bassett Promotions, producers of The Mark Lloyd Show. Want to put your brand with a proven winner? Outstanding advertising and sponsor opportunities are currently available for The Mark Lloyd Show. Give us a call at 877-738-3681, and we'll discuss ways to get your company on the airwaves right here where Tallahassee comes to talk on the all-new Freedom 93 FM.
Welcome back, folks, and we're going to take a trip to Mark Lloyd's locker for the Bucks Report right here on Freedom 93 FM. You got it, Mark.
Thank you very much, Seminole Bill. And we go the highs and lows of the NFL, the highs and lows of being a rookie quarterback. 2 weeks ago, people were questioning why was Winston taking number one. And everybody out there crawls from out from under the rocks and saying, hey, you know, I told you, James, I told you. Marcus Mariota was a better quarterback. I told you Marcus Mariota. And it's like, you know, calm down. Seminole Bill and I said it last week. Pull back the reins. All right, just pull back, okay? My gosh, it was one game. Nobody gave him a chance, not even Seminole Bill, nor myself. Tampa Bay goes on the road and defeats the New Orleans Saints in the Superdome. Not easy to do, period.
Nope.
Huge victory for the Bucs. As they take down the Saints, Seminole Bill, Jameis Winston was 14 out of 21, over 200 yards, and a touchdown, no interceptions, several, I would say probably 3 to 4, and you could tell me if I'm wrong, it's 3 to 4 passes were dropped too.
Yes.
That Winston threw, a couple of crucial ones, but the Bucs hold on, and they pull off the victory, and Jameis looked like, he looked like the number one draft pick of a quarterback that, after a bad week, that's what he's known for. He forgets about it. That's what all great quarterbacks do, right? Similar, you yep. forget about it, whether you did great or you didn't, and you move on. And that's what Winston did. He led his team on the road to a victory. Huge win for Winston and the Bucks.
Hashtag blame Jameis. We're back.
Yes.
He's back,
yes.
man. You know, revise the shirts, put the Buck logo on it, and he's right back to being where he should be and where you expect a rookie quarterback to be. And whether you're number one or number two, it doesn't matter. You saw that it kind of flip-flopped this past. Mariota had a good game, but he lost. NFL right. talent is different levels. It's managed skill sets. It's schemes. Not coaching, you know, coaching the guy up too much. Letting him go out there and just do what he's capable of doing and learn. And that's what he's doing. You know, you're not going to learn everything in practice. You're not going to learn everything in the preseason. You're not playing every play that you could play in a game. And so the wheels are turning now. Jameis is seeing the field a little bit better. He didn't go up against a really tough scheme defense like he did in week one. He had some opportunities to stand there and throw, and I think he did get a running TD as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so, yeah. Again, you know, he's being Jameis. When he can go out there and play like that, and the defense shows up and the running game shows up, the Buccaneers are a much different team. They've got their guy. There's nothing wrong with Jameis. It's just growing up and getting that other receiver back in the system as well that he didn't have the week before. That stuff helps.
That's right. I was gonna go to that next. Is you mentioned something, Seminole Bill, and then we'll get on to the receivers and also injuries for the Bucs report. But Doug Martin's averaging about 4 yards a carry. And you mentioned it before the season started that his best friend, because you knew that the offensive line was going to be shoddy at best. That right. It's kind of like it's a work in progress.
Right.
And that really is, that's awful for a rookie quarterback, but it is what it is. And that's when you mentioned that Doug Martin, or whoever's back there, Charles Sims, somebody's going to play a vital role for this Buccaneer team. And Doug Martin is running well. 4 yards a carry is what he's averaging, and that's really, really good right now. Behind that offensive line, if he had the Cowboy offensive line, Doug Martin would be averaging 6 yards a carry. And that's really helping out Jameis Winston, and it's helping out the whole Buccaneer team, too, because it does slow down the game a little bit for Winston and for the offense, plus it keeps the Bucs' defense off the field.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what we pointed out, Mark, when we first talked about what could be for the Bucs if they want to put some more victories on the board this year. It starts right there on the offensive side of the ball with getting a consistent running game going, so your defensive schemes aren't geared just to stopping Jameis. They got to be able to. They got to slow down the run. If they can't stop the run, then Jameis doesn't even have to become a big factor. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't have to make that, you know, the throw on second down and long. What you want to do is have a consistent, like you mentioned, you know, 2, 3, 4 yards a trip, so that when you come to third down, it's not third and, you know, 8, 3, 9. It's 3, 4, or 3, 3. So you have options to run a running play. You could toss it. You could, you know, screen it. You could draw it. It makes the defense have to think versus just load up on your main weapon. So yeah, I'm glad to see that. That's great.
Yeah, it really is. And you mentioned that Mike Evans is back. There's good news, bad news, actually, this week. Mike Evans, one of the best rookie wide receivers last year, now in the second year, is back. He hasn't played yet, and that's big because now he'll have Jameis will have Jackson and also Evans as their go-to guys as the wide receivers, two big targets. Problem is, Seminoleville, he loses his number one target, and that's the tight end.
Yeah.
You know, Jenkins is injured, and he's going to be out, I think, 4 to 6 weeks or somewhere around that area. And that's really going to hurt the Bucs because that was his outlet. Jenkins was finally playing like the talent that a lot of people thought he was going to be coming out of University of Washington. And a tight end anymore seems to be one of the most important positions on an NFL team. It's, everything comes in cycles, and right now tight ends are hot.
Yeah.
And that was Winston's go-to guy. So I'm curious to see the difference between now having Mike Evans out there and really losing Jenkins for a while. So that's going to be crucial when they get ready to go up against a Houston, Texan team that has a J.J. Watt and a Jadeveon Clowney. I don't know why I mentioned Clowney. He doesn't do anything. So a J.J. Watt on the defensive line. Let's look ahead, Seminoleville. You literally don't slow down J.J. Watt on the defensive side of the ball. But what do you think they're going to do in order to, I guess, save Jameis Winston from getting crushed throughout the whole game?
You know, good points. You're going to have to scheme against him, and you know, just like you do with any great defensive rush or defensive player on the other side of the ball, and the same way you did when Jadeveon was a factor back in his playing days in college, you know, teams would scheme to go a different way. You just get away from him, you know, as much as you can. So you really got to have your head on a swivel with J.J. Watt, because that guy is just a beast. He's always in beast mode. He is coming after you like you got his biscuits in the morning, and he's going to be there all game. He is a, you know, one of the greats. You know he's no doubt about it. So you better figure out a way to maybe scheme against him. Maybe if he comes directly at you, you do some of your screens. You know, that's what I told you. We need to see them get both those backs, the quick backs in the backfield, and pro set formation, just spread them out and make more people cover. If that's what teams do to slow down a defense, you got to make sure that there's so much going on and so much involved that they can't just focus on, you know, bum rushing Jameis. You know, literally, they can't do that. We've got to make sure that there's outlets for him. Without the tight end, you made a good point. Now you can't, you know, you can't really bring those extra blockers in and run out of your two-star receiver set with the tight end and a traditional backfield. You may have to go to some more of a spread look, if you will, with multiple receivers to spread the defense out, force JJ to give some ground, maybe to bump a receiver, or at least, you know, look at the receiver if he's, you know, right there in his area. Those are ways you can maybe slow him down. You're not going to stop him. He's going to make his plays. Jameis just has to make a few more than he does.
Yeah, I hear you right there. Now, the good news for the Bucs is that the Texans' offense is not very good. Ryan Mallett's the quarterback. We'll see if he sticks with him. Coach O'Brien, Hoyer was the starting quarterback opening the season. Got pulled. Mallett started week two, but they still lost. This is a chance for the Bucs defense really to show up and pressure a quarterback and really keep an offense down that should be down. There's no Arian Foster. Their go-to guy is DeAndre Hopkins. For Florida State fans, they're familiar with him. He used to play for Clemson. Always had some good games against the Noles. Well, Hopkins is dynamic. 14 catches on the season so far, over 150 yards. But there's no Arian Foster. So they're running with a backfield by committee with no superstars back there. And they don't put up a lot of points. They put up 17 last week against Carolina. So the Bucs have a chance. They got to go on the road, which is never easy. Similar, Bill, what is your prediction for this football game? You going to jump back on the bandwagon, or are you going to stay off of it like you did last week?
Well, it wasn't so much staying off it last week. It was just the opponent to me. You know, and you're giving me a hard time. I'll get you for that. I'm on the bandwagon right now. I'm riding it. I think that Jameis gets, the confidence he needs, and even without the tight end, I think he's got some other weapons out there. I'd say let's go with the Bucs maybe 24-17.
24-17. So, okay. All right. You know what? I'm going to be on that bandwagon as well. Let's ride the Winston bandwagon. I say Tampa Bay goes on the road. And the Bucs go to 2-1 with a 16-10 victory. I think it's a low-scoring game. I think the Winston throws a touchdown. Maybe there's also a running touchdown and a couple field goals. And the Bucs defense shows up against an inept Houston Texan offense. And the Bucs go away, and they're 2-1 on the season. And the Texans are 0-3. Okay, we got to take a break. When we come back, though, we're going to talk some NFL football. Senator Bill, you ready to talk about the rest of the National Football League? And yeah. We will touch on Fear of the Walking Dead, too, because the season is almost coming to the end. So we got to sprinkle in that little entertainment segment as well. All that coming up next right here on the Mark Lloyd Show on Freedom 93 FM. Stay with us.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show. Yes, I know that's the Walking Dead music, and that's back in just a little while. But we'll be talking Fear of the Walking Dead coming up in just a minute. But similar, Bill, let's jump right into the NFL slate. We only have an hour each week, so we try to get in as much talk about football as we possibly can. And we don't want to neglect the rest of the NFL. We do our Bucs report, but a lot of good games, a lot of drama, as always. Injuries playing a big part, no more than in Dallas with the Cowboys. And similar, Bill, I'm not a Cowboy fan. I don't think you are. You're not a Cowboy fan, are you?
You know who I went to? No, I'm a Steelers. You know it's all black and gold.
I was just messing with you some more.
I know my brothers love the Cowboys. I know your brother loves the Cowboys.
Yeah,
How do you live with that?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess because I'm indifferent. But I hate to see any kind of major quarterback go down with an injury in the NFL. True. Because I don't have any loyalty to any team. I just want to see good football. And it was a shame that Tony Romo went down. Dez Bryant's already out because the Cowboys looked like, once again, okay. And when Dallas is winning, there's some teams, in no matter what sport it is, when they're playing well, the sport's better for it. We've talked about that. People want the Michigan Wolverines to be good again because it's good for college football. In the NFL, you want the Dallas Cowboys to be okay. And it sucks that Tony Romo went out. Now Brandon Weeden is the quarterback. They're 2-0 on the season, and Atlanta comes to town. Then that should be a fantastic game, Seminole Bill. Atlanta at Dallas. I wanted to get your thoughts real quick. The Cowboys are favored by 1 point. Who wins that game? Does Brandon Weeden lead the Cowboys to victory?
No. Dirty Birds, they're flying right now. So you got to watch out. Atlanta's got the weapons that the Cowboys need right now.
You're right.
Julio Jones is a crazy receiver, man.
Yeah, he's Devontae Freeman with a touchdown last week.
Our boy Devontae. I think they go in there and they beat them, you know, at least by three, if not seven.
I do, too. I like Atlanta on the road to defeat the Cowboys. There's a new head coach in Atlanta, different mentality. They're actually playing defense right now, right. And that's a good sign.
Yeah.
Now, here's a team that nobody expected to be 0-2 right now. They're at home, and they're taking on the Cincinnati Bengals, and that's the Baltimore Ravens. Similar Bill.
Wow.
I mean, the percentage of teams that are 0-2 that make the playoff, I think are like 10% only make the playoff. So it's do or die for a team like the Baltimore Ravens. The Cincinnati knock off the Ravens?
They're
2-0 right now, and this would bury the Ravens. The Ravens would be done. That's it. They're not making the playoffs if they lose this week.
I'm going to take the Ravens only because the pride issue is going to come up. You know, they're probably better than that record. Of course, we know they should be, but something's going to click this week for some reason. They're week three. I think they rise up and they beat the Bengals. Just a gut feeling.
Okay. No, there's nothing wrong with the gut feeling. All right, another marquee game with another 0-2 team involved is the Philadelphia Eagles. Huge expectation for this team, Seminole Bill. Chip Kelly brings in all of his own guys. They signed DeMarco Murray, right? They bring in Sam Bradford. They had all kinds of dynamic. Nelson Aguilar, they draft out of USC. So it looks like they're going to have a great season. They looked awesome in the preseason. They're 0-2 right now, and there's all kinds of controversy going on there. Sam Bradford looks awful. Darren Sproles doesn't do anything. And they're taking on a Jets team that looks just the opposite. In the preseason, they look terrible. They have the Geno Smith controversy, but now they're 2-0. And you know what? That defense is out of control. They look so good. They crushed the Colts. So they're 2-0. Does the Philadelphia Eagles go into New York and pick up a victory, or do they go to 0-3, Seminole Bill?
I think you better hit the sirens because there's going to be a lot of crying in Philly right now because they expect it to be 3-0 at this point. And from all you've heard, Bradford is scared. I'm sorry to say it. You know, a lot of people made the comment, but you're right. I mean, as a QB, you look into you see his eyes are just all over the place right now, and he don't want to get hit. And I'm sorry, you know, it's the NFL, man. Which like somebody used to say, not for long if you keep playing that way. You know,
that's right.
Your head's got to be on a swivel. You're gonna get popped, and you got to just hang in there and take your shots, man. And that's the problem. You don't have that in place right now. Plus, Murray's out this game, if I remember correctly. He pulled a hammy, didn't he?
Yeah, it's still up in the air. They said he might play, but you're right.
Hamstring injuries are tough to recover.
Yeah, they are, but he's not doing anything. He's got to be regretting going there because they don't play his kind of scheme.
No.
All right, so Bill, I want to get the two other games we got to get out of here today.
All right.
And the Colts, another 0-2 team on the road against the Tennessee Titans. Does Andrew Luck and the Colts, which there's controversy there too, you know, with the head coach taking a shot about the offensive line, which is really a shot to the general manager for never drafting a good offensive lineman. But does Andrew Luck and the Colts finally get in the win column and knock off the Tennessee Titans and Marcus Mariota?
I think Luck rebounds. He's going to have to. You know, the defense on the other side of the ball he's facing is a good scheme. Really, really, you know, we saw that with the Bucs. They just destroyed them. So I think Andrew's going to use his smarts, his brain, and they're going to get out there and rebound, and he's going to get a win this week.
All right, two more. I lied. Not one more, two more.
See?
The Bills travel to Miami. This is a really important game for Miami. They're 1-1, and it's a really important game for the Bills, too, who's 1-1, where they both came off the open the season with victories, but now they're both coming off losses, and not good losses either. Not at all. And so who comes out on top in this game? The Bills on the road at Sun Life Stadium down in Miami.
I'm taking Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just
yeah. I think Tyrod Taylor is going to come back to reality.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's a different story. Yeah, it's a different. And he came back to reality last week against the Patriots. Okay, one more, and they get back Levante Bell.
Mm.
Good Lord, how awesome is the Pittsburgh Steelers offense going to be when now he comes back, and then guess what, Bill? In 2 more weeks or 1 more week, you'll get Martavius Bryant back too. That offense, it could rival as one of the best in NFL history for what Roethlisberger is doing. Right. 720 yards already on the season. Antonio Brown has already caught 18 balls for 328 yards. D'Angelo Williams has carried the ball 41 times, and he's already over 200 yards on the season. I mean, they are playing some outstanding football.
Yep, and they're going to go for two. They've already said pretty much every extra point.
That's right. Good for them.
Okay, I just say wave the magic towel, man. You know, it's Steeler time right now. They're in a zone, and until someone knocks them off, they're going to be a team to beat, period.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I am excited about the Steelers' prospects this year. Even with the defense that is suspect, the offense is so good right now. It'll keep them in a lot of games and win a lot of games for them, too.
Right.
All right, so that's some of the pigskins, some of the Bill. We're running out of time.
So how about that?
How about that
Walking Dead ending for the Fear of the Walking Dead?
Oh, that's what I was just about to go to. I mean, how great is that? Oh, that show has really picked up steam. And I wonder, you know what? I wanted to ask you guys this question, and anybody else out there that maybe knows this, is do you think that we're going to learn where actual disease started? I know, obviously, there's something going on. I mean, we're seeing it from the beginning, but do you think we're actually going to get an explanation? Kind of like they hit it on in The Walking Dead. In one of the episodes when they were at the CDC. But do you think we're going to actually get, like, an explanation, like the actual origin of it? Like, here's the first person. This is how it happened. Do you think that's ever going to come up?
I don't know, because, I mean, if you rewind back to the original Walking Dead, they don't even really give an explanation of it. And that's, like, years and years probably down the road after the Fear of the Walking Dead has already occurred.
Yeah, no, that's
weird.
A good
we have
point.
To go backwards. Yeah, I don't know that they can reveal it. It may let too much of the mystery out of the bag. You know, maybe there's something
about
that.
So that's a good point. My brother was watching it with me.
Oh wow!
And
takes a lot to get him on that, except for a movie.
Exactly. But he said those could be gunshots, and I was like, that were lighting up, and I'm like, no way. So do you think the flashing light was gunshots, or was that actually somebody trying to communicate with them, and later on, those were gunshots?
No, man. I think someone's trying to bring them there.
You think someone's trying to bring them there,
yeah.
But later on, that was gunshots, though.
True, but there's something going on there, man. You know, they always got something in the back room. You're just not going to see it. It's there.
Yeah.
You just know it's there.
See, now that you guys mentioned that, now I'm like, okay, so I definitely saw the flashing light. I definitely saw, and then at the end, I definitely saw the gunshots. But now that you guys say it could be like a trap, like a trying to get somebody to go over there, you know.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, is that who would be doing that? That's what I'm saying, is that I think that people are being held there, and then they're being killed, whether they should or not. I think that's what it is. I don't think it's a trap, because why would the military be trapping people that they're trying to protect in there? You know what I mean? There's no trap effect, but I think they could go into a trap, possibly. But I think the person's actually crying out for help. They're going to show up and realize what's going on, whether it is, you know, assassinating people, basically, whether they're diseased or not.
I think that's where your origin started, right there in the flashing light. Maybe that's the place where it all starts.
That's true.
Bizarre, right?
You never know. you never know. You know, there's some experiment. I mean, when they took away the people, where are those people going? Are they going there to get shot?
Don't.
Or are they going, you know, somewhere to be experimented on? Who knows? All right, that's going to do it. Wow, that was a fast-paced show this week. So much to get to, but we always do it every single week on the Mark Lloyd Show. So, for Simon and Bill and Terminus Eric, I'm Mark Lloyd. We'll talk to you next week right here on Freedom 93, the home of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Take care, everybody.